A court in Washington, sitting in closed session, will decide this week whether to permit the publication of classified information pertaining to the American space program. The case has arisen in response to documents from KGB files which have recently become available for the first time.
Only how did I breed a kid like that?
Oh, come on, I'll bet he's a good kid.
He is a good kid.
They're all the same. You can't talk to them, never mind teach them. You want another scotch in there?
No, Shermie, I'm fine, thanks.
Sylvia?
No, no, thank you.
You know, I've been teaching for 30 years here in Queens, but well, the kids today, they have no interest in anything. No curiosity, no sense of history.
Well, I guess teachers have been making the same complaint ever since they were teachers.
Yeah, I guess. Josh is typical. Bored with everything. I blame TV. I mean, by his age, they've seen it all. Death, famine, pestilence. Nothing excites their curiosity. The only thing he reads are damn comic books. Science fiction. I mean, isn't the real world interesting enough? Apparently not. Reality leaves him cold.
You know, Josh remembers you.
Oh, he couldn't.
Yeah? He was pretty excited to hear that you were coming over.
Yeah, or what passes is excited for him.
He remembers all those tall tales you used to tell him when he was little.
No, I never tell anything but the truth. You know that.
Oh, sure. It's good to see you again.
How do you want to see to your pie?
As if it isn't enough that I tend to the minds of the nation's young, I have to cook, too.
One dish, but he's kind of proud of it.
Whitman, you will never have tasted pie as good.
Sherman's pie, huh?
You know, he worries that he's not the teacher he was. He takes the kids' apathy as a personal slight.
Well, you know, they do say that kids are less interested in the sciences these days.
These things go in phases.
Maybe. But when he and I were in college, there was a romance about sciences.
Science has let us down. People thought it was going to solve all our problems. But it's just produced different problems. Well, he's unhappy because Josh doesn't share his passion for it. Now, there's Josh. Josh? Mr. Whitman's here.
Hi.
Oh, he's shy.
I think I'll get some fresh air.
What did it look like?
Well, it was very bright. And it was quite large, and it was moving.
Now, we have heard that part of the rocket, as well as the satellite, is up there in the sky. Did you see one or two points of light?
Well, I only saw the one.
Hi there, Josh.
What is he? A Newfoundland?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I had a dog just like him when I was your age. What's his name?
Conan.
Conan? Oh, good name.
I remember you.
Huh?
You used to tell me stories when I was a kid.
Oh, you remember that?
Sure. They were good stories. Pretty wild, too.
Wild? Well, maybe, but I only ever tell the truth. So what's this? The Cold War and the American Space Program.
I've been trying to get through it. I have an assignment for history. Space, the final frontier. I guess the teacher thought he could make it sound like Star Trek.
That sounds like an interesting assignment.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to write about the Russians and the space race and stuff, but, I mean, does anyone really care?
Well, I guess so. Space has lost its sense of theater. Yes. You see, in my day, we had Sputnik and Apollo and Soyuz, and now we have the shuttle. The shuttle sounds like a bus. Who can get excited about a bus?
Right.
Yeah, but when it was a race with the Soviets, you see, space was, well, much more fun. I guess you're too young to remember all of that. How old are you, Josh?
I'm 17. Nearly.
Wow. You weren't even born when Neil Armstrong stepped out onto the moon.
And they expect us to be interested. I mean, that's ancient history.
Well, I remember watching Sputnik crossing the night sky over Michigan. I talked about nothing else for days until my father got tired of it, and he said, "Do you know what this means? This means that the Reds can wipe us out like that." And he snapped his fingers just to show how quickly the Reds could end my short life.
What's Sputnik?
What's Sputnik? Didn't I ever tell you about the Russian dog that talked?
товарищ доктор!
There's no need to stand to attention, this me, Corporal Yashin. I hold no military rank.
I can't see the capsule yet.
It should be visible soon.
Sometimes they burn up, huh?
Our engineers have rectified that problem. Why did you call the dog Satan?
It was my dad's idea. He said a guard dog should inspire fear.
I didn't find him very terrifying. Quite a softy, really. Perhaps he takes after his master. Dogs do, don't they?
He's not frightened of anything. He can swim underwater. I've seen him swim right down into the river and fetch stones back in his mouth. Big stones, too.
Yes, well, intelligence wasn't a requirement for this mission.
What if you picked up some disease in space?
There are no diseases in space.
Who knows what's up there? If you don't mind me saying so, товарищ доктор, you scientists don't know everything. There it is.
Where?
There. Ah, it's burning up.
No, no, no. It's simply reflecting the sun. See? The streets are opening.
It was announced by Radio Moscow.
A pressurized container with a dog as experimental passenger. The container is equipped with air conditioning, a supply of food, and instruments to study vital activity in cosmic space.
As far as I can see, the dog is fine, but I should like to carry out some more tests.
Gagarin is ready to go. I want to be able to report that the biological unit has given Satan a clean bill of health. We don't want to be the ones to hold things up, do we?
As I have said, the dog appears to be fine.
Good. Drink.
Thank you.
Your husband died at Stalingrad, I understand.
Yes.
You must have been a child bride, товарищ доктор.
I was just 20.
Terrible campaign. So many women left widows. If we had been better prepared, if the Nazis had feared us, they would not have invaded. The Americans, they must learn to fear our capabilities. Fear is the only thing that will keep Sovietsky Soyuz safe. Здоровье. Come in.
Здоровье.
Oh, Colonel Yashin, I have some good news. It's my privilege to inform you that your dog is to be honored. Just this morning I have been informed that the Satan is to be made a hero of the Soviet Union. Героем Советского Союза. Like that mongrel from Rostov that tore the Nazis' throat out.
Fixes with honor, sir!
The ceremony will be tomorrow. If that's all right with tomorrow's doctor.
Of course.
Good. As the head of the unit, I shall have the honor of making a small speech to mark the occasion.
Can I see Satan now?
Hey, Satan. You are a hero, eh?
You can go in if you want.
Hey, Satan, Satan, good boy. Good boy. You're going to get a medal, huh? It's good to see you, boy.
Master!
Hey, God! Говори!
What have you done to him? Thank you, Doctor. But how is it possible?
I don't know. There was a slight radiation leakage into the capsule during the flight.
But you said nothing about that.
It was nothing. Anyway, I don't see how it can explain how the dog can suddenly talk. I presume he has never...
What? Talk? I think I would have noticed. What a thing, eh? What a thing! He'll be famous!
Corporal, I think it best for the moment that we keep this development to ourselves. I need time to assess the dog.
Shouldn't we tell Comrade Pushkin?
As soon as this becomes common knowledge, Pushkin will claim all the credit. Satan will be removed from my jurisdiction. You don't know how jealous people can be in the scientific world.
I think we should tell him.
As far as he is concerned, the dog is fine. I'll have to keep Satan quarantined. If anyone asks any questions, tell that he's got mange.
Mange? Satan.
And that I'm treating before releasing him back into the kennels with the other dogs. Corporal Yashin, there are few opportunities for a scientist to discover something which will win the Nobel Prize. I'm not about to have that chance snatched from me.
Aren't
you ambitious, Corporal? If we can work together on this, then we both get something out of it. Corporal, I recognize that you have a special relationship with Doc. You can help me. We can make history together. You love Satan, don't you? If the dog is taken away, do you think you'll see it again? All those years you've put into that dog will count for nothing.
What about tomorrow's medal presentation?
We shall have to go through with it. But for God's sake, make sure that Satan doesn't decide to make a speech.
Today, those of us working with the strategic rocket forces are at the front line, defending the motherland against Western aggression. We remain on a war footing. All citizens of the Soviet Union are potential soldiers, and that message is symbolized by this dog, Satan, who has provided important data which will allow us within few months to put a man, Russian man, Ruski Soloviak, into orbit. Satan is only one of the dogs we trust to patrol the
hunger!
Well, clearly, Satan's physiology is not developed for human sounds. I shall be operating on him to facilitate that, giving his vocal cords more elasticity.
Hunger! Satan. We're going to help you to talk, huh? A small operation. All right? Huh? It won't hurt him, huh?
It won't hurt him, I promise.
Good morning, Corporal.
Sorry, Doctor.
Good morning,
Doctor. Good morning! Comrade Doctor!
And how are you today?
Good! You've been good. Very good. When somebody asks you, how are you? You say, I'm well. Thank you. I'm well. Thank you. You've been good. Oh, that's the last one. I spoiled from the killer's little.
In this bag, I have some much more tasty things than biscuits. Corporal, would you mind leaving now? I have some work to do with Satan.
See you later, boy.
Satan? Sit. I want to ask you about your space flight. Can you tell me what you remember about it?
Dear. Nice. You have my head. Tell me not to worry.
That will be the launch.
Then darkness for a long time. Then the noise again. I'm afraid. I howl like a pup. Then you again.
So you remember the launch and the return. But nothing in between?
Light in my head.
A light?
And the ball through the window. Big. Was I asleep?
No. You saw the earth. You have seen something which no human has yet seen. The earth from the space.
I picture it in my head. No words for.
We shall give you the words. You see this? This is an apple. A is for apple. Make the sound apple.
Apple.
Make the sound a.
Apple.
Good.
American.
Very good. And who are these Americans?
People like us.
People like us.
Some good, some bad. People like us, I suppose. People like us. Some good, some bad. People like us.
Who taught you this? B is for bone. See? B. Make the sound. B.
B. Bone. Good word.
B. B.
B. Bomb.
Bomb.
Bat. Bombard. Pointless. All died for nothing. No reason. Nothing but pointless.
Where have you learned this?
Dog. Good.
guard dogs raised?
Well, each handler is given the dog as a pup and raises it within their own family. That way it bonds with the handler.
So you've had Satan since he was a pup?
Yeah.
What do you feel about Americans?
Americans? They're the enemy.
Aren't they people just like us? Some good, some bad. And the atom bomb?
What about it?
What are your feelings about the bomb?
I don't have any feelings about it. I'm glad it's there. Make the bloody Americans think twice about messing with us, huh?
You don't think it's pointless that it will kill us all? You strike me as a bit of a loner, Corporal.
Suppose so.
The dog is probably your best friend. I imagine that you talk to him, don't you? About the things that go through your mind. You do think about things, don't you?
What things?
Dogs can obviously recognize certain human sounds. They learn the sounds of the language first, then the meaning. Satan remembers words that you have used, but he also picks up your feelings associated with those words. Also, Satan doesn't know what Americans are. He thinks they're people just like us. That's how you feel too, isn't it?
He wouldn't have got ideas like that from me, no.
Who else? Don't worry, I'm not going to report you. You know, Corporal, I'm going to be more famous than Pavlov. All he managed was to make a dog salivate.
Good morning, Satan.
Good morning, Comrade Doctor.
And how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Vodka. On you. Vodka. A lot of vodka.
Be quiet. You can smell it? Well, last night I had a little drink.
No! This morning!
Have a little in my coffee. It helps me to wake up.
I smell the lie!
A lie has a smell? What does it smell like?
Like bad meat!
What else can you smell of meat?
Soap! Flour! Uh-huh. Vodka! You're not happy!
You can smell unhappiness! How does unhappiness smell?
Like a house where no one lives, but the scent of them is still there, like master smells.
The corporal smells of unhappiness too.
Like empty house. Rap head.
What?
Rap head. Give biscuit.
You want me to rub your head?
Rap head. Give biscuit.
You're a simple creature, really, aren't you?
Rap head! Give!
The dog is astonishing. His picture of the world is almost entirely built up from his sense of smell. Yet, it is as complete a picture of the world as ours.
People are beginning to ask why the dog's still in quarantine, huh? Shouldn't we tell the professor now?
Soon. Would you like a drink? He says you smell of unhappiness.
What?
What are you unhappy about?
I'm not unhappy about anything.
You're a conscript, aren't you? You can always tell. Nothing on earth can make you a soldier if you don't want to be. Where are you from?
Ukraine. Little village you wouldn't have heard of.
Your family still there?
Don't have no family. Not since my grandfather died.
Satan's all you've got then.
I prefer animals to people anyway. You know where you are with a dog.
My husband died in the war. He took all the love I had with him. I think people have only got so much love in them. Mine got used up. Now I smell like an empty house. How old are you, Corporal?
20.
My husband was killed when he was only a year older than you.
I should go.
Stay! I'm sorry. I'm talking to you as if you were a dog. Sit. Please sit. Stand. Apparently, we both smell like empty houses. You can stay here tonight if you want.
Stay?
Yes, with me.
You want me to stay with you?
Only if you want to. It's not an order.
All right.
Do you believe her?
Well, I could see that Valentina must have been a pretty handsome woman in her younger days.
I mean about the dog, talking everything.
I believe that she believed, yes. Does it embarrass you, by the way, for me to talk about Ivan and Valentina? It's just that it's kind of important to the story.
Oh, no, not... Why should it?
Of course, Josh, you're a grown-up.
So, what happened?
Valentina was beginning to question the whole military basis of the space program. You see, she was a scientist. And she was afraid that Satan's newfound abilities would be exploited for the wrong end.
Still no explanation for Satan's ability to speak. Question. Could this phenomenon be repeated? Would another animal react in the same way? I can't help feeling that he has been sent to us. A messenger. But what is his message? So, how do I smell today, Satan?
You smell of master!
Oh, yes, well, I suppose that's only to be expected.
You smell of his flesh!
Do I?
His sweat!
Yes, that's enough. Here. What effect will space travel have on man? Are we about to take a leap forward in human evolution? What chance of that? This discovery gives us an advantage, or the rest. It is clear that if Pushkin knew, he would offer our political masters armies of intelligent dogs. All our thinking is determined by fear over the West.
Why is the dog still in quarantine?
I'm still carrying out tests.
Either he has a clean bill of health or he doesn't. To Irish doctor, I'm being asked question as to why is the dog still in isolation.
The dog is fine.
You must not hide anything from me.
I'm hiding nothing, Major.
Then he should be back in the kennels with the other dogs.
How is he?
I'm worried about him. I don't understand why we can just tell Tavarish Pushkin, huh?
If they find out, they'll turn him into a weapon. The military will take him over. They'll send more dogs into space to see if they can repeat the phenomenon. And if they can, they'll build armies of dogs. You're a conscript, Irani. You don't want to be a soldier. One day you can return to your village, but a dog has no choice. They will use the virtues of the dog, its loyalty, its faithfulness against it, just as they use our patriotism against us.
I can try to keep him quiet.
They'll find out one day. He won't realize what he's doing. He's like a child. He's a gift from heaven, but we are not ready for him.
When he was a dog, life was so simple.
What does it mean when he was a dog?
Listen, just listen. They're afraid of him.
That's enough! Now sit down and shut it! What is it we owe you tonight?
Satan, come here.
What's going on?
I'm taking Satan. He's obviously disturbing the other dogs.
He has got some disease.
No, of course not, but I should run some more.
My smell has changed.
Satan, you don't belong in the kennels anymore. You can never go back now. You scare the other dogs.
I'm not a dog anymore.
Once we learn something, we are no longer the same. There's no going back.
Don't worry, boy. We'll look after you.
Hello?
Doctor.
Comrade Fushman.
What is going on? I hear that Satan has disturbed the other dogs. Is the dog diseased? If so, why did you allow him to be returned into the kennels?
You told me to release him from quarantine.
Not if a dog is diseased.
The dog is healthy.
Then why was it in quarantine for so long?
I told you I wanted to complete my task.
Well, then you suspected that something is wrong with the dog.
No.
I'm ordering you to destroy it.
Destroy?
What?
Immediately. You have obviously missed something that the dogs have picked up. You can't fool animals, Tavares, Doctor. They know where something is wrong. Destroy it.
I won't let you destroy him.
We'll pretend that we wanted to go for a late night drive. No one will try and stop us.
We'll get into trouble.
We are already in trouble. There is no going back. We have to get Satan out of here.
There's a truck behind us. Being signaled to stop.
A little further. Stop around this next point. Satan, you must run. You must run very fast, or they will kill you. Understand? You must run. Go!
Master!
You have to go, boy. Go. Egyptian checker. Go.
Have I done wrong?
Yes, Satan. You're a good dog. You're a gift from heaven, but we are not ready.
Go! Go!
That's the problem. Ivan and I just fancied taking a drive.
With the dog, you were ordered to kill it, Tavares, Doctor.
I was going to, but it has come to mean a lot to me. We wanted to take it for a last walk, and it escaped from us.
You are finished. You are dead meat, both of you. Get those dogs on the track for me, now!
Ivan, that's right.
Run, boys, run. They won't get him. Nothing ever has.
This is Radio Moscow. Here is our special news. Today, the 12th of April, 1961, the first cosmic spaceship named Vostok, with a man on board, was orbited round the Earth from the Soviet Union.
And Valentina never saw Satan again. Nor I. She lost her position, and he went to prison where he died 2 years later. Oh, not all stories have happy endings.
And the dog?
Well, as far as I know, it disappeared into the wild. No one ever saw it again. Though years later, shepherds in the region would claim that they were visited by a restless spirit in the shape of a dog, which spoke to him. I guess the moral of the story is that you can teach an old dog new tricks, but only at a price.
She was crazy, right? This Valentina. I mean, she had to be.
Well, that's what I thought at the time.
What do you mean?
Excuse me. I have to get washed up for dinner, John.
But what do you mean, at the time?
Recognizing the head start obtained by the Soviets, I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal, before this decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and returning him.
You know the biggest thing that Clinton could do for science in this country? He should do what Kennedy did. Remember that speech he made in 1960 promising to put man on the moon by the end of the decade? Well, Clinton should do that. He should say, we're going to put a man on Mars within 10 years.
Or a woman.
Look, don't get PC on me. Man, woman, whatever. We could do it as a joint venture with the Russians.
You always used to talk about that.
Science needs a big adventure to capture kids' imagination.
Well, maybe kids have different priorities now.
Well, everyone responds to adventure.
Did putting a man on the moon really benefit the human race? All that money just to produce a non-stick fry pan.
You see what I have to put up with in my home? You see the level of cynicism?
Oh, I love to bait him. You sit here.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Hi.
Well, are you deigning to eat with us tonight, huh? It's a pretty special occasion.
Hi, Mr. Whitman.
Hello, Josh. Here, come
help yourself to the vegetables. Good. I don't want any false compliments for the food. I know my limitations.
Oh, now, come on, Sylvia. You're a great cook. The whole world knows that.
You give lying a good name. At least we'll end dinner with a flourish. Your father's made his pumpkin pie.
Oh, great. I never knew you liked my pie so much.
Sure I do. It's great.
Hey, Sherman, you know who I thought of just the other day? Herman Von Essen.
Oh, Von Essen. Here's a name from the past.
Von who?
Herman Von Essen helped to develop the V-2 rockets for the Nazis. He was one of Von Braun's team who was brought to America after the war to work on the space program.
Professor, this is our little astronaut, Mona. Isn't she sweet?
Sweet is not a criterion for this mission. The animal need only be healthy. She looks very young.
She's just 2 years old. It's like sending a 14-year-old into orbit.
It is nothing of the kind. It is an animal. There's no room for sentiment in science.
I'll take her over to prep.
What did you say his name was?
Mona.
You remember when Von Essen came to the campus?
I'll never forget that night.
He was an old man by then, but still a rabid anti-communist.
And still a Nazi.
Oh.
We had a debate. The motion was, space, who needs it? I was opposing.
Along with Von Essen.
Yeah. He went puce when he saw he was sharing the platform with Sherman Ginsburg.
So communism holds most life for you. I find it surprising that an American expresses such views. Such generosity of spirit towards one's enemies can be foolhardy.
We have to diffuse the tension somehow. America and the Soviet Union have to try and understand each other. Think of what we could achieve in space together.
Gentlemen,
communist values are antithetical to the free world.
You're such an expert on how the Soviets think.
As much as you are. Is it because so many of your people are high up in the Communist Party that you hold such views?
My people? You mean Jews?
And shortly after that episode, Von Essen disappeared. I really believed at the time that he'd been retired to Argentina or Bolivia or some other Latin American refuge for old Nazis. And it wasn't until years later that I discovered the real reason why we never heard any more of Herman Von Essen.
Wait. What do you mean? The real reason.
What, haven't I ever told you this?
Don't give me one of your tall tales, Whitman.
No. It's the God's honest truth. And this might interest you too, Josh, in the light of what we were talking about this afternoon.
Well, what were you talking about this afternoon?
Oh, sure.
All right, wait. One day, a while ago, I happened to be going through a catalog in the Library of Congress when I saw a reference to material relating to Von Essen. So out of curiosity, I had it brought up. Well, it turned out to be his diaries.
16th of April, 1968. Today, I received a communication. I am requested to attend a meeting with the head of science personnel. Apparently, there have been complaints about my remarks during that college debate. This is what happens when vulgar democracy is set up as a little god. But it was silly to let that little Jew get to me. How beautiful you are. Strange. But there are moments when I think I catch a light in your eyes. The light of understanding. Who's there?
Professor.
Mona?
Yeah.
What? Oh. A dream.
Another talking animal?
What do you mean, another talking animal?
I'll tell you later. So what happened?
Well, Von Essen's diaries provided some pretty weird reading.
As you know, I am responsible for, amongst other things, public relations
at the base here. Your recent remarks during the course of a college debate...
Well, unfortunate, and I apologize. May I go now?
As of today, you are no longer involved in the Apollo program.
What?
Your security clearance has been revoked.
America welcomes communists like Pushkin with open arms. Yet I, who have devoted years of my life to the space program, am to be thrown out?
Professor Pushkin is an ex-communist, in a way that you are clearly not an ex-national socialist.
They would not have jettisoned me had they thought I had anything left to contribute. They were not so particular when they needed me. Now, it is clear that they have no further need for me on the program. I am too old.
Am I very beautiful? Do you love me, Professor?
My God!
April 25th. For the past week now, I have been recording Mona's progress. She already has an extensive vocabulary, and we can hold sustained conversations together. She appears to see the human world as an extension of her own, not as a separate dimension of experience. All life appears to be a continuum for her. I have also seen her watch television for long periods, and it is clear that she is following everything that is going on, sometimes repeating lines of dialogue. I have made some attempt to teach her to read, but she exhibits little interest. Although she does enjoy looking at picture magazines, especially of movie stars.
I'm hungry. And change the channel. I want to watch I Love Lucy.
Professor von Essen, I believe.
Yes.
Evgeny Pushkin.
Yes, I know.
You're something of a legend at last.
That is kind of you. I think you are something of a legend yourself, I
am. Am I?
Well, it's quite a catch for the Americans to have landed such a high-ranking member of the Soviet space program.
Oh, take it from me. Most of my staff would defect tomorrow if they could. You and I have been on opposite sides of the space race for many years. And not only the space race. But the war is long over, and now we are on the same side. History is grand joke, don't you think? Perhaps we shall even work together.
Well, that is unlikely, since I've been dropped from the Apollo program.
Oh, yes. Forgive me, I heard this.
They believe that I have nothing more to offer.
Age catches up with all of us.
They made a great mistake in my case. I have a great deal to offer.
I'm sure, Professor.
With my knowledge, I could change the world.
Oh, I'm sure.
Please do not patronize me, Mr. Pushkin. I'm serious.
I understand your bitterness, Professor. Believe me. Me too.
Some observations regarding Mona. She appears to be maturing. No longer is she the petulant child, but has developed mentally into a temperamental adolescent.
I'm bored.
Mona, my darling, my own beautiful little secret. I have a present for you. A little ball. And inside, a tiny bell. I must go out for some things. I shall not be long, little one. And I shall bring you back some lovely, fresh cream.
I'm still bored.
Oh, stuff is juicy.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who is that?
Who are you?
Is that Professor von Essen's residence?
He's not here.
Who am I speaking to? Are you Madame von Essen?
No.
No, you're far too young. You must be his daughter.
No.
Oh, I see.
I'm his little secret.
Oh, his little secret?
That's what he calls me.
It is indeed. Perhaps I could leave a message for the professor.
What message?
I was wondering if he wanted to go to the movies. They're showing From Russia with Love tonight.
I'd like to go to the movies.
Would you? Well, you sound as if you may be far too young for this film. It's perhaps too sexy.
Can I come?
If the professor agrees, of course you can come.
He won't let me. He doesn't let me out.
He doesn't let you out? But that's terrible.
I know. He says I'll get into trouble.
The world is a dangerous place for little girls.
I'm an old fool, Mona. I forgot my checkbook.
Hello?
Why is the phone off the hook?
Hello?
Who is this?
Oh, Professor, you're back.
What do you want?
I just rang to ask what you are doing tonight.
I'm busy.
Oh, that's a pity, Professor. I had hoped to meet our young friend.
What friend?
I didn't get her name, but she sounds very charming and very young.
She is no one. A friend's daughter who is staying with me for a time.
I'm bored, Professor. I'm really bored. I was wondering if you would like to go to the movies.
I do not like the movies. Thank you.
Oh, you do not like the movies? This I cannot believe. Everybody loves movies. I love to sit in the dark and lose myself. And I have been also thinking about what you told me the other day.
What do you mean?
You have been treated very badly, Professor. But believe me, my own people are no better. How could they do this to you after everything that you have done to them? I love Americans. They can be so ungrateful. Can I really not persuade you to come to the movie?
Not tonight. Thank you.
Then some other time. Well, good night, Professor.
Good night. Mona, you must not talk to strangers. Do you hear me? Do you want to be locked up in a cage?
No!
Then speak to no one, ever! I have become aware of a car. An Aztec red convertible which sits outside of the house. Clearly, I am under surveillance. Not only have I to suffer the indignity of forced retirement, they are to keep watch on me, too. I cannot be sure that Mona will not give herself away. If they were to discover her, she is all I have left. I cannot have her taken from me. I have bought a gun. I will kill her and myself rather than give her up. I have applied for extended leave. I shall take Mona with me. We shall not return. We are pushing westward across the flat interior of the country. I drive for hours, mesmerized by the glare as the interminable American roads shimmer in the desert heat. Life with Mona is becoming more strained. Her latest fanciful notion is that she wishes to be a movie star. This, the result of my smuggling her into a picture house to see a farrago of nonsense called West Side Story. I wanted to see Judgment at Nuremberg, but she said she wasn't interested in that historical crap. The vulgarity of her language pains me deeply.
When will you call Paramount?
Soon, Mona. I've read in the papers that the head of Paramount Studios is on holiday in Europe and not due back until next week. I think you would agree that we should go straight to the head of that studio, don't you? Yeah? I tell you what. Why don't I write him a letter about you?
Maybe you're right. Hey, maybe I should send a photograph. I think this one, with the sunlight striking my face.
Why not?
see this one. But I think I look a little favored, don't you?
Perhaps a little.
Could you show a little interest here?
Oh. That one. You on the rug in front of the fire.
You like that?
It's charming.
Charming. Do I want to be charming? I think this one has more character.
Then we must compose a letter. That took hours. Of course, I sent neither letter nor photograph. Dragging a reluctant bitch of a talking cat around the Western States of America may be a species of insanity, but I refuse to join wholeheartedly in her mad delusions of cinematic glory.
I want to go out.
No.
Why not?
Because.
Because what?
Because I say so.
I hate to. I hate to. I hate to. Wow. What's that?
Whiskey.
I want some.
No.
I never have anything I want.
Do your worst, Mona. I am too tired this evening. Care.
When will you call the studio about my letter?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes, tomorrow. Now, please be quiet. I'm very tired.
Just any night. Tonight there'll be no more morning star. Hello?
Hello, ma'am. Do you have any requirements today?
Requirements?
Any laundry or personal toiletry needs?
Who are you?
My name's Ben, ma'am. I'm your valet for today.
You have a nice voice, Ben.
Thank you, ma'am.
Have you nice soft hands, Ben?
Well, ma'am, I used to play the piano. I was told that I had a light touch.
Yeah, I like nice fingers in my fur.
Do you have any requirements, ma'am?
Yes, I do have requirements. I require to go to the movies.
You want to go to the movies?
Yes.
Could I come in, ma'am?
No! You'll wake him up.
May I ask your name, ma'am?
Mona.
Mona? That's a nice name. Just Mona?
I'm gonna be a movie star.
Is that right? Why don't you come and open the door?
I can't.
Why not?
I can't manage the handle.
If I could get the key, would you come out with me?
Oh, yes. Get the key.
Mona, who are you talking to? Get away from the door, now!
Who are you?
I was just asking your wife if she had any requirements. Toiletries, towels?
The maid has already seen to these things. Who are you?
I'm just checking the maid's seen to all your requirements, sir.
Never, I repeat, never speak with my... wife, again, you hear me? Or I shall report your conduct to the manager.
I'm sorry, sir. I was just doing my job.
Go and do your job somewhere else.
Excuse me, sir.
Mona, I told you not to talk in front of other people.
Ben has a nice voice.
Do you know his name? Do you want him to come and get you and put you in a cage? Oh, Mona, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shout. Mona.
I tell you, sir, there's no one works in this hotel called Ben.
Then who was he?
I'm afraid I have no idea, sir.
I won't have my privacy invaded like this. Do you hear me? What kind of a place are you running here? Where any Tom, Dick, or Harry?
How can I help you?
Ben can knock on your guest's doors.
Yes, he's here. Professor Von Essen, it's for you. Will you take it here?
No one knows I'm here.
Hello.
Hello, Professor.
Pushkin.
How are you, Professor?
How did you know I was here?
I was wondering if you might like to meet up. Perhaps Mona would care to join us.
What is this all about?
She sounds like quite sexy kitten, your little secret. Professor, listen to me. I know you're unhappy. You're bitter about the way Americans have treated you, and you're right to be bitter, after all you have done for them. I know some people, Professor. They would be very interested to know what you know, and you will be well rewarded for sharing your knowledge with them.
You cannot have Mona.
This is not about Mona.
It isn't?
Of course not.
But you know what she is.
Whatever she is, she's obviously important to you.
She's the most important thing in the world.
Yes, well, we often feel that way about ones we love.
I can keep her. You won't take her away.
Professor, you have my word.
Your word? The word of a Soviet double agent.
I'll call again, Professor.
Mona and I are in a small log cabin high in the Sierra Nevada, rented to me by a woman who lives nearby. She seems to lack the normal female vice of curiosity, thank goodness. I've arranged to meet Pushkin. I should tell him everything as long as he allows me to remain with Mona. The Soviets, the Americans, what does it matter who has her? It only matters that she's not taken from me.
That's one small step for man. One giant leap for man.
At last, a man stands on the moon. Yet I hardly care. What was it all for? Look at this country. Vulgar, stupid. Everything has turned to ashes.
I
want to
watch something else.
In a minute, Mona.
This is boring. Look at all those birds outside. I want to kill them.
You cannot go outside, Mona.
You keep me prisoner.
It is for your own good.
There's a god raving up.
Oh my god. The Aztec red convertible. We got to get down, Mona? You must be quiet, or they will put you into a cage, yeah? You understand?
Professor!
Mr. Berryman! You have been following me.
Not personally, some of my people.
Why?
I might ask why you're running away. Shall we take a little drive, Professor?
I was not running away. I merely wish to extend my vacation. It was you who informed me that I was to retire, Mr. Berryman. What else can I do with my time?
You look a little rough, if you don't mind my saying, Professor.
How do I? Well, I guess I am just letting down my hair. Really, if I'd known that I was going to be followed...
Where's the girl, Professor?
What girl? What are you talking about?
The girl who spoke to one of our agents at the Excelsior Hotel, Butte Point, Arizona. He spoke to her through the door of your room.
He was one of yours?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was a Soviet agent.
You have been in contact with Yevgeny Pushkin?
He knows about Mona.
He's blackmailing you, isn't
he? Oh, this is ridiculous! Me passing secrets to the Soviets, the very idea! This is funny! Mr. Berryman, I can explain everything.
I hope so, Professor.
I have something to tell you which affects national security. In this cabin, Mr. Berryman, is something that will shock you to the very core.
Just how young is Mona?
Oh, for heaven's sake! Listen, you blockhead. What I'm about to reveal to you must be communicated immediately to your superiors in the State Department. In this cabin, I have... a talking cat.
I see.
Of course, you do not believe me. I cannot expect you to, but presently you shall see and hear the truth for yourself. This is, as far as I'm aware, the only talking animal in the free world. It is my belief that her flight into space has caused this phenomenon. I call this accelerated evolution syndrome. The proof
is in here.
I'm sorry. I'm finding all this very difficult to follow.
Yeah, you will see.
Professor, is your cat in here? I am allergic to cats. Whether they talk or not.
Mona, we have a visitor. Mona. Mona, I want you to say hello to Mr. Barry. Mona, it is all right for you to speak.
I hate cats. They should all be locked up.
Do not say that. Mona, they will not lock you up. You must speak. Say something. Oh, Mona, please, you stupid little bitch.
Professor.
No.
Professor, I must insist you come with us.
Mona. Do you want me to kick the door down, sir?
Oh.
No need to damage your property, Ashbury. Keep an eye on this Nor until I get the owner.
Yes, sir.
Maybe you are.
What?
Maybe you should be put away.
Oh, Mona.
Perhaps they will be nicer to me.
Oh, Mona, they do not love you as I do.
You don't love me, you silly old man.
Huh?
You won't allow me any fun. And you smell bad.
You fat, furry ball of lard. I give you everything, and the finest of it, and you repay me with this desertion. I won't allow it. I won't. Mona! Mona! Mona!
She is gone. Soon they will come for me. Oh, my God, how did it come to this? Never introduce a gun into the first act if you do not intend to use it in the last.
Justice of a sort has been done, sir.
Hmm?
He took the European. You might even say the aristocratic way of...
Perhaps, Ashbury. But I would have preferred to see him face good old American justice.
What about the girl, sir? What do you think he's done with her?
I'm afraid to say.
Are you thinking...
Watch out!
Is it... Well, it's dead all right.
Shit. That's bad luck.
It's got a tag. Mona. This is Von Essen's cat.
The one he claimed could talk.
Mm.
If only it could have. What a tale it would have told.
I think it was Wittgenstein who said, if a lion could talk, we would not be able to understand it. Come on, Ashbury. The pursuit of justice can't be held up by a dead cat. Let's pick up Comrade Pushkin.
Damn it, look at the time. The pie will be burnt. You and your crazy stories, Whitman.
Stories? That makes them sound kind of made up.
I'll clear some of these things. If you and Suman's managed to save his pie, he'll leave the space to present it with a theatrical flourish.
Josh, in a way, your father's right.
About what?
Well, once people began to ask questions about the Cold War, they couldn't maintain the idea of a space race. Some of the romance went out of the space exploration. Sorry, Josh. I know all this science stuff is boring to you.
This isn't science stuff.
Oh, isn't it?
Is it? Anyway, it's just a story.
Ah, I must have the kind of face that no one ever believed.
Because the American people agree that space station freedom is not only a very valuable scientific program, but it is essential to our destiny as a pioneering...
What I can't figure is that this generation of kids will believe anything. I mean, UFOs, strange phenomena, the Loch Ness Monster, anything but real hard science.
Enough.
As if their minds were permanently tuned to radio ridiculous.
Say goodnight, Sherman. Whitman's tired.
You know, we have to put the theater back into science. We have to proselytize.
Oh, I agree.
We need leadership.
Enough proselytize. Gee, he'll be going around knocking on people's doors like a Jehovah's Witness. Let the poor man sleep.
Am I ranting?
You are ranting.
So I rant. I'm large. I contain platitudes.
I hope you'll be comfortable. We haven't used the guest room for a while.
I think he puts people off visiting us.
Whatever happened to my supportive wife?
You left with the interesting guy I married. I love him, but, is he boring?
Ginsburg, I'll never forget your pumpkin pie.
It wouldn't have been burned if you hadn't started on that dumb story. Josh, will you turn that music off now? It's late.
What?
The music! Turn it off!
Say, isn't that Space Monkey?
Yeah, you know it. Oh. Don't be so surprised, John. You might think we're all ready for the grave, but we're younger than Mick Jagger.
Ah, gee, I like that album.
Do you want to listen to it?
Well, do you mind?
Keep it low. Hey, Whitman, would you draw me a map of his room? Better still, take a picture. It's terra incognita as far as I'm concerned.
Good morning, Whitman. Say goodnight, Sherman.
Good night, Sherman.
Aesop's Astronauts. Ah, they were a great band.
No one ever knew anything about them. They're a mystery.
Yeah.
All that stuff about the talking animals, it was all made up, right?
Well, you know, Josh, for years there have been all kinds of rumors coming out of NASA. They say some of the astronauts have seen stuff in space that they can't explain.
What kind of stuff?
Well, they say Buzz Aldrin saw a UFO on the moon.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wrote an article a while back called Secrets of the Space Race. It was pretty much a rehash of outlandish rumors and speculation. But into it, I dropped the question, whatever happened to the animal pioneers of spaceflight? I thought if there was anything to the talking animal stories, maybe my little article might flush something out into the open.
Hello.
Mr. Whitman?
Speaking.
My name is Chico Menendez. I used to play guitar for Aesop's Astronauts. You heard of us, maybe?
Sorry, I think you've gotten through to the wrong desk. You want our music guy. I'll switch you over.
No. I want you, Mr. Whitman. You wrote that article, Secrets of the Space Race?
Yes, that was me.
Then you're my man.
Hey, wait a minute. Aesop's Astronauts? Well, you made that album Space Monkey, the biggest selling album of the year.
Ever, man. Biggest selling album ever. In your article, you asked the question, whatever happened to the animals that went into space? Hey, man, that is a good question. That is a very good question.
Well, why are you calling me, Mr. Menendez?
Why don't you look up your newspaper files for April 13th, 4 years back?
Why?
There's a little story there you might have missed the first time.
So, I checked the files. It was an insignificant little story. So insignificant that even I had missed it. And knowing what I knew, it should have jumped off the page at me. Two monkeys escaped from the NASA biolab in Arizona. They'd gone missing in the desert.
Chico Menendez called you?
Uh-huh.
The guitarist with Aesop's Astronauts?
Mm-hmm.
But no one from the band ever gave interviews.
That's right.
And he rang you up out of the blue about these monkeys.
That's right.
You're not going to tell me if there's some connection between these monkeys and a major league rock band.
Well.
No.
I like that song of theirs. Space Monkey. Space Monkey, you don't know why. You came down from the trees, now you're up in the sky. Kind of says something about the endless curiosity of human beings, don't you think?
So this is Austin. We heard a lot about you, boy.
He can be a little shy around strangers.
Austin, this is Jethro. You're going to be spending a lot of time together. Here you go, little fella. Jethro, you've got a buddy now. You two make friends, okay? I hear that Austin's a very bright boy.
He has the highest recorded IQ of any chimpanzee in the world.
Hear that, Jethro? Your new roommate's quite an Einstein. But Jethro's pretty sharp himself. I don't reckon he'll be too overawed by the monkey prodigy there. I guess that's why they picked these two. Higher than average intelligence for primates. But you're gonna be astronauts, boys!
Hi.
Hello.
Banana?
No, thank you. I've eaten.
I started out in the zoo, but I guess they saw I was brighter than the others, so I went into the scientific line. Where I come from is pretty much research or TV if you want to make anything out of your life.
Where are you from? I was raised in a laboratory in Harvard. I have always been in the scientific line, as you put it. Psychological research, intelligence tests, that kind of thing.
Me too, me too. Once you work out what they want, it's easy.
Did you do that thing where you push the button to get the nuts?
I was real good at that.
Oh, yes. That's basic for Harvard monkeys.
What's that?
It's a book.
A book?
I have a collection of these little picture books. They say a word, and I point to the picture. Don't you have any books?
Nope.
Uh-huh. Just recently, they gave me a piano. I've been trying out some musical ideas, just for my own pleasure. Really, I haven't gone public with anything.
I like this! Yeah, you like Bon Jovi, don't you, boy?
What's he like, your big friend?
Larry? He's okay. Regular with the meals. Keeps the place clean. We get on fine.
Does he have that music on all the time?
Yeah! He likes to have the radio on. Pretty good, huh?
Austin doesn't like the music.
Look at Jethro. He loves the dance. Go do it, little guy.
Look, Austin's pointing to the radio. He doesn't like it.
It's possible to turn the music down. Hello? Hello?
It's obviously disturbing him. Is that any better, Austin?
Hey! What are you doing? Thank you. It's way too low.
Petro likes the volume high. Man, he looks really pissed.
No. What's going on?
This is Peter. Do you want us to put on these shiny skin things?
He's trying to break my arm.
No.
Watch your teeth.
We aren't going to hurt you, little guy. You just got to put your space suit on.
Just put your little arm in here, Austin. Good little monkey.
Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Who's a monkey known as Primate 3165 is having trouble adapting to space.
Oh, look! Out the window. Amazing.
What do they want now?
I think they are unhappy with the materials floating out of your cage. Holy joke. You smell bad.
I ain't never felt so bad as this my whole life.
You should look out of the window. It is amazing.
What is that? A big blue ball.
That's where we came from. Isn't it beautiful? I have written a poem about it. Space monkey, you don't know why you came down from the trees. Now you're up in the sky.
Only 2 hours to re-entry.
I got what, little guy? I'll leave the radio on for you.
I see you have made a full recovery.
Ooh, I feel fine. Pass me another banana.
You are very quiet.
I cannot get the picture of the blue ball out of my head.
I'm happy just to be home. What does that mean? Mother Nature's silver seed and silver spaceships lying in the sun. What is that about?
He is imagining a picture of people flying into space. Like we did.
Yeah,
but does this not strike you as a little strange?
What?
Well, before, the big friends have always sounded a little funny. I mean, I never really understood what they were saying. Did you?
I guess they could have spoken a little clearer.
Hi, Dad!
Hi, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
He ain't well.
Larry! Are you all right?
Of course he isn't, big ass. He's lying unconscious on the floor. What is it with these guys?
Something has happened to us, Jethro. This is amazing.
Hey, look, the keys are in his hand. The keys to the cage. Can you reach?
What do I want the keys for?
We're getting out of here, man.
Out?
Get the keys, man. Hand them over.
It's okay. Okay.
Go where? Man, you have been institutionalized. Come on. You're free.
Attention! Two chimpanzees have escaped from the quarantine area. If sighted, report immediately to security. Do not approach. These animals can be dangerous.
Over the fence, and we're in the wild. Come on! What are you waiting for?
I've never been in the wild. Neither have I.
Hey, how different can it be?
We are gathered here today to say our final goodbyes to Moonface, our friend, our companion, nuestro compadre, and most important, our drummer.
Ex-drummer, I guess, is more correct there, Chico.
Our ex-drummer. It was his dying wish that his ashes be scattered in this place, where several years ago he was abducted by an alien spacecraft. He never forgot that experience and returned here many times, hoping to make contact with his friends from the stars. Oh, people of the stars, we bring you the remains of your friend and our friend.
You want some of this?
Through rock and roll, he brought your message of peace and love and stuff to all mankind. Or at least to the people who came to our gig. Goodbye, Moonface. Okay, so who's driving?
Cold.
We need some transport. Maybe we can hitch a ride.
Every time we talk to the big friends, they fall over in surprise.
We're going to have to take a chance, Austin. Otherwise, we're going to die of cold out here.
This is good shit, man.
Gee, it must be wonderful to meet with alien beings. I wonder what they want from us.
They come in peace. But they know that we are, in cosmic terms, but children. Not mature enough to understand them, and that their appearance would cause a worldwide panic.
Right.
They've been watching us for decades from their starships, until they feel that we are ready to accept them. They were negotiating with Kennedy about revealing themselves when he was assassinated.
I remember where I was when he was shot.
Yeah? Where?
Indiana. What star sign are you, Chico?
Gemini.
You are particularly psychic. Geminis have an affinity with the astral world. They can see things invisible to the rest of us.
Break!
What's up?
Something just crossed the road ahead. I see it in the lights.
It'll just be a jackrabbit or some creature of the desert.
It looked like a monkey.
You don't get monkeys in the desert, Chico.
Excuse me. Could you help us out?
I see a talking monkey.
I see a talking monkey, Chico.
Holy shit. Pluto, where did you get this stuff?
We are in trouble. We need help. A ride, man. We need a ride.
Is that another one?
Are you guys for real?
But of course we're for real, man.
Excuse me, sir. We are on the run. We need to get away. You think they understood?
You're on the run?
Oh, good, they got it.
That's right. I guess they might be aliens. Recently crash-landed on our planet.
It happened.
What are you talking about?
Hey, forgive our curiosity, man, but it's not every day we meet a talking monkey.
Just as I suspected.
Yeah, whatever, man. Look, are you going to give us a ride or what?
Chico, we got to help these little guys. We can't allow them to be found by the agents of the totalitarian fascist military industrial complex.
What are you talking about?
I have no idea.
Oh, shit. Get in the van, guys.
Come on, man.
We're just gonna get some chow, okay? I think it's better that you two stay here.
Can we bring you back anything?
Oh, some fruit would be nice.
I'll have a chocolate shake. Maybe a donut.
Okay.
I don't know if this is such a good idea. I think we should hand these guys over to the cops.
We can't do that.
Well, these guys have probably crossed millions of light years to get here.
I think this is a message from Moonface from beyond the grave. I think he's trying to tell us to look after these little guys.
Who knows where they're from? They might be radioactive or something.
I ain't handing them over to anyone.
I'm with Marie.
Look, how are you going to hide something as weird as two talking monkey aliens in San Francisco? Yeah, okay. But even in California, you have to admit that talking monkeys are few and far between.
Why
talking animals of any description?
My sister's got a parrot.
I think you'll find that parrots simply repeat human expressions. They do not stop you in the desert and ask you for a ride.
So what's your point?
My point is that we do not know what we are getting into. Far from hiding these aliens from the clutches of the police state, we might be getting involved with forces well beyond our control.
I ain't giving them up.
Yeah. Okay. But when the FBI SWAT team starts kicking down the door looking for these freaking monkey aliens, please remember this conversation.
Listen.
Hello.
Hi. Did you
get the shake? So, you guys musicians?
We're the people of the recent future.
A couple of years ago, we were the trash kings of infinite solitude.
Yeah.
Catchy.
It is not easy to come up with the right name.
Ain't that right?
Okay, you guys want to get out right now?
Take it easy, man.
Yes, keep your hair on, person of the recent future.
Looks like a roadblock. What do they want?
Hang on. I'll use my psychic power to find out.
Do you have psychic powers, too?
You guys better keep your heads
down. We're investigating the escape of two lab animals from the NASA Biolab in Arizona. You people seeing anything?
What kind of animals, officer?
Two chimpanzees.
Are they dangerous? I mean, do they got some disease?
Not as far as we're aware, sir. Did you see them?
No. I think I would have noticed two monkeys in the desert.
That is pretty unusual. Well, sorry to bother you, sir.
Well, that's okay, officer. Have a nice day.
Aliens?
You're not from another planet?
Hey, look. If anyone's from another planet, it's you guys.
What a ridiculous idea. What made you think that?
Oh, I really don't know. How could we have mistaken two talking monkeys for aliens from outer space?
Yes, I can see from your point of view some explanation was required. It is a little strange.
No, it's not a little strange. It's a lot strange.
Don't mind us.
These guys give me the creeps.
I don't like them hanging around.
Oh, they ain't in the way, man.
Okay, let's try it one more time.
It's a nice melody, but it's the wrong key.
What?
It's in the wrong key. Here, let me show
you.
Let me try out a bass line.
Yeah, sounds great.
It needs a rolling backbeat, man.
It keeps us drunk, man.
It just cries out for really nice lyrics.
My friend Austin here is a poet.
Yeah? Well, that's a very attractive person in a man.
I can drive that poem you wrote.
You don't know why you came down from the tree. Now you're up in the sky. You don't know why you came down from the tree. Now you're up in the sky. Space monkey.
You can write, man, but you cannot sing.
That is beautiful. Moonface was never so poetic.
And he did a lot of acid.
Marie, if I sang a line, do you think you could add a little harmony?
Yeah, try.
You don't know why you came down from the trees. Now
what do you think?
You go up in the sky. You don't know,
I guess it might
down
work.
Down from the trees. Now you're up in the high in the sky.
The rest is history. Space Monkey was a massive hit album. And about a year later, they started on a second album.
There never was a second album.
No, there wasn't. There were some tensions. It was the old story, Josh. Jethro and Austin wanted to take the band in two different directions.
Marie, do you ever feel as if you're bursting to say something and trapped within a limited means of expression?
I know what you mean, man. Mm. Sometimes you feel so full of feeling that you feel you need two lives to feel all that you feel.
Something like that.
You're getting all that wrong. It's all wrong.
Don't shout at me.
Get it right.
Okay, that's it. I'm out of here. I don't need this.
Take five.
Coming back in?
Not till that monkey apologizes.
You and me, we used to be real close, Marie.
That's all past.
Not for me, it isn't. I think you're getting a little too close to Austin.
Chico, Austin has vision. He has poetry.
He has too much body hair. Maybe you hadn't noticed, Marie, but Austin is a monkey.
I can see beyond that.
Yeah? Well, I still find it pretty strange. I don't like taking orders from someone who is supposed to be about a million years behind me in the evolutionary scale.
Maybe you should leave the band if you feel like that.
Maybe I will.
Nobody does concept albums anymore. They went out in the 70s.
Everyone else thinks it's a great idea. I've even got the title for it, Monkey Knot, like Cosmonaut, you know? It's a kind of play on words.
Nobody gives a hoot about all this space crap anymore.
Yeah, come on.
I want people to feel some of the sense of wonder that I felt up there.
I felt sick, man.
You're just jealous. You're jealous of me because you wouldn't be shouting and shouting. I am the soul of this band. Without me, it is nothing more than a cheap rock and roll
outfit. Oh, yeah?
I am an artist.
And what does that make me?
It makes me that brother. Fire.
Oh, what are you doing?
Mechanical line. These muggies are far too valuable to damage, man.
Oh, Austin.
Hey, where's Chico?
He had tipped off the FBI. Of course, the whole thing was kept out of the public eye. Marie and Pluto never wanted to talk about it. And no one believed Chico.
Except you?
Well, I've always believed in keeping an open mind.
And Jethro and Austin?
They disappeared into one of those dark places where governments keep their really big secrets.
You're some storyteller, Mr. Whitman.
Oh. Do I detect an edge of disbelief, Jack?
Okay, let's say it's all true. Why haven't you published the story? You'd win the Pulitzer.
It would be the scoop of the century.
The greatest scoop in history.
Well, there's only one scoop greater I can think of. Finding life out there. For the time being, all we can do is speculate. Make movies, write stories. Sometimes aliens are good, sometimes bad. But we kind of believe they are out there, don't we? That's how science works, don't you think? First come the stories to prepare us. And everyone says, ah, that's just a story. But the imagination paves the way for the reality. You think that talking dogs and cats and monkeys are strange? Can they be any stranger than what's out there? Oh, your generation has a great adventure ahead of it. Good night, Josh.
Good night.
Don't you leave it so long next time. Bye, Sylvia.
Bye.
Bye, Josh.
Bye.
Bye. So long now. Bye. Oh, that Whitman. We used to call him Baron Munchausen. Every time I see him, I remember how much I miss the guy.
Oh, he's certainly entertaining.
He makes a lot of stuff sound interesting.
Stuff that I make sound dull.
You're a teacher, Dad. You're meant to be dull.
Oh, I think my son is developing a sense of humor. I shall have to beat that out of him.
Is there any of that pie left?
The dog ate it.
Did you eat the pie? You ever wonder if he can understand us?
I often wonder how I can understand you. Have you got an assignment to do?
I guess it would be out of line for you to help me with it.
Sure. I'll help you. I'll be up in a minute.
Okay.
Well.
I guess all those stories were just stories. That's just what he keeps saying, that they were for real.
There's no room for talking animals in science.
Oh, he just seems so plausible.
And I'm a woman, Sherman. I always know when a man is lying. It's something that women are born with.
She meant nothing to me.
Ah, funny.
You know, Whitman talks to him about the stuff we all try to teach him in school. And he listens to him because he makes it sound interesting. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's all we can do. Keep their curiosity alive. If I could only get Whitman into the classroom.
You don't need Whitman.
Am I a dry old stick?
Of course.
Don't spare me the truth now.
Oh, you're a dry old stick. But I watched you listen to Whitman's tales, and he looked like a child. A teacher should always remember that feeling.
I guess there's supposed to be some moral here, right?
Sure. But you're bright enough to work it out for yourself.
Get it!
I wanna go to Saturn. Put the rings on my finger. Jupiter is nice. Well, I may well linger. I will ride a comet to the end of the system.
Things I wanna do.
Well, I just can't lift them. I just can't lift them.
Space Monkey.
Aesop's Astronauts was written by Tony Mulholland. The part of Whitman was played by Don Fellows. Ginsburg by Philip O'Brien. Sylvia by Marion Kemmer. And Josh by Jim Christian. In Satan's Story, the part of Satan was played by Christopher Radzicki. Ivan by Yuri Stepanov. Valentina by Valentina Yakunina. And Pushkin was played by Rad Lazar. In the Mona Story, the part of Mona was played by Toya Wilcox. Von Essen by Christian Ronska, and Berryman was played by Ed Bishop. In the Jethro and Austin story, the part of Jethro was played by Paul Burchard, and Austin by Ron Burgos. Marie was played by Buffy Davis, Chico by Lewis Hancock, Pluto by Michael Elliott, Cameron by Alicia Dean, and the policeman by Martin Cookson. Other parts were played by members of the company. In the song, Space Monkey, the lyrics were written by Tony Mulholland and the music by Jeff Mearns. Aesop's Astronauts was directed at Pebble Mill by Brian Lighthill.